Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Jack.
Jack.
Tom.
Jack.
Tom.
If you notice I'm a lot today, it's because I'm back on coffee. I've relapsed and I love it. I didn't do coffee for years and I'm back on it because I read online on Google Overview that coffee is good for depression. I'm back. It's good, Jack.
On Google Gemini Overview.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't turn it off, by the way. It wasn't my fault.
No, to be fair, that is true.
I'm back.
They said Gemini's the best one.
Gemini's all right.
Oh, no, whoa.
No.
Whoa.
No, really
bad. That's the best one. All the best of evils. Like, I don't know, Dr. Octopus. He's my favourite of the bad guys. Still bad.
Anyway, my point being, I'm back on coffee. I've had an ice. Guess what my order is, Jack? An ice latte with oat milk and vanilla stuff in it.
Shut up. I'm talking.
Shut up, I'm talking. Shut up, I'm talking. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. I'm talking. Shut up, I'm talking. Shut up.
I figured no one really cared about your coffee order.
I genuinely think they would have done because a lot of our viewers like coffee.
But they shouldn't because the caffeine will send their hearts crazy.
No, it calms your mind. It focuses you.
No, it one thing it doesn't do is calm you.
It calms my mind.
I know, but I think that might be because of something we're going to talk about today.
Ooh.
Ooh, bit of foreshadowing. Ooh,
that was actually so sick, you know.
Thanks,
our retention just went to 1,000,000%.
People are watching the video 5 times. Anyway,
all right,
Tom,
we have a segment.
We do indeed.
It's called, audience, drum roll please, the worst moment of the week. If you don't know, if you're a new viewer, you've just been tuning in, it's basically, well, it's what it says. It's the worst moment of the week.
It's the moment of our week which was the worst.
Yeah. I'm going to go second today because mine genuinely... I'm confident to say, and you don't know it.
He hasn't told me. I'll be honest, sometimes we tell each other beforehand because we're friends. This one, he refuses to, keeps stressing to me that he might need emotional support to get through it.
This happened last night. It's still so raw for me. I'm actually still dealing with the repercussions of it. But I want you to go first, Jack, because I can't, I'm actually going to, it's actually miserable.
Well, not trying to be funny, but mine is pretty bad.
It's right? Not worse than mine.
No, because I know that you hate this. You've had nightmares about this. YouTube keep fucking age restricting my videos.
No.
In 3 weeks, that's 3 videos.
Yeah.
Twice.
No. What are you doing?
That's 2/3 of the videos in the last 3 weeks. First time, admittedly, me and Jay Schlatt may have discussed Conor McGregor's cock a lot. All right.
Fair play to them. That, do you want to explain what age restricting is as well?
Age restricting is where YouTube forces the viewer to verify that they're over 18 to watch the video. This, in essence, to a YouTuber, fucking kills their performance because everyone watching YouTube is a teenager. Some of you might not be. Most people watching YouTube are teenagers. And YouTube stopped pushing it into recommended. This is a video. So the Schlatt one was a video that had boomed, it'd done great, it got 500,000 views in a couple of days, and then it slowed to getting about, since it got age restricted a week ago, it has gained total 2,000 views. It kills it. The video is dead. I will not
Which
be making
lot,
money.
Though.
I mean, yeah, the fact that it got
Let's
that
Let's not
far,
be ungrateful, Jack.
Well, I'm ungrateful. No, I am, because when I know, when I know realistically that in that week it would have probably gotten 500,000 more, but it instead got 2,000. Which you know how much that pays. What have I probably made off of that, Tom? Give us a rough estimate.
About a dollar.
Maybe 3 quid. You know, basically, that was my money for the week gone. So I'm a little bit annoyed. Anyway, I thought, whatever. You know, happens to the best of us. I put out a video with Harry yesterday. Gets fucking hit again. This time, I'm going to struggle to explain this without this video getting age-restricted. It's like...
Don't do it, man.
We looked at celebrities' first ever tweets. Yeah. And Samuel L. Jackson's first ever tweet was, can a MF say F on here? But in discussing that tweet, we said the F word so many times.
F?
Fuck.
Oh my God. Just censoring fuck. I thought you meant the F slur.
No, no, no.
I know. I was like, what?
No, why would Samuel L. Jackson, one, ask if he could say that on Twitter?
I don't know. I thought you were just like saying the F slur in your video then for a second. It just
why would I do that?
I don't know, but imagine my heart dropped.
Yeah, no.
All right, sorry.
No, we
sorry.
Just said the F, we just said fuck a lot.
Oh.
But like, but we said like, can a MF say F? And then like Harry goes, oh, why is it we saying MF? And then we say like, in like a 30 second span, we say it like quite a lot. And YouTube just goes, that's bad. So I cut that part out of the video and they've actually given it us back. Anyway, that's not been good. But what's made it worse, because the thing is, these videos would, you know, as we know, it stops them in their tracks. I explained that. But the reason it's been so bad, because Keir Starmer and his fucking Stormtroopers recently introduced the anti-wanking law.
Where what's now, the anti-wanking law?
Now on the internet, it's an internet thing. Yet whenever you go on an 18 plus website or an 18 plus piece of material on the internet, you have to send in your ID or have AI look at your face to verify your age. This is also on YouTube. I have a majority British audience.
What?
Meaning
for every video?
No, for every age restricted. So now if a video is 18 plus, it's not you just have to make a YouTube account and set your birthday to fucking 1980, right? Like, you have to actually verify your age with an ID.
Oh my God.
Meaning I'm completely fucked, right? Because now everyone who wants to watch fucking Jack Manifold and Jay Schlatt learn British slang has to send the government their ID to check.
Is that real?
This is genuinely true.
Imagine the amount of like photos, if you could see them, of like sweaty pre-wank blokes. Like,
isn't it? This is what I'm saying.
That's horrible.
Like, at this point,
let me in.
At this point, if they're going to keep age restricting every video I put out and making everyone verify their IDs to watch it, I might as well start putting them on fucking Pornhub because their ad rates are better if we're going to have to put in our IDs anyway. If you have to be 18 to watch the Jack Manifold channel anyway, I'm going to move to Pornhub. YouTube, this is what you're doing to me. You're pushing me over to Pornhub. I don't want to go to porn. I don't want to put my videos
it's
on Pornhub.
It's the hub of porn.
It's the hub of porn, for fuck's sake, and you're pushing me over there. Because I don't want to be there, but it's my only option. Because the thing is, my views are so low that although they'll be low on Pornhub as well, guess what? They pay fucking brilliantly, I learned recently.
Do you want to know something mad? I didn't even know about the wank law because I have such a strong and beautiful mind.
You just imagine things.
I can just imagine anything. I've got such an amazing sense of imagination.
Can't check my ID to imagine tits, can you now, Keir Starmer?
Yeah. Stop me doing it, Keir Starmer.
Keir Starmer. You can't do nothing about it.
Keir, if you knew what I was thinking about right now, you'd be so pissed off.
To be fair, we are 18. We're allowed.
Yeah.
We're actually not 18. I'm 23 nearly.
I'm 21, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, no. God. Really? So when I was 16, they were I'd just be that
they say, no wanking for you, mate.
What is the point then? What's the point in all of this? What am I working towards?
I don't know. It's too deep. I don't know how to answer
what
that.
What is the goddamn point?
That is
rough. That absolutely pales in comparison to my worst.
There's no way,
your
Tom.
Worst moment sounds like a fucking
walk in the
park.
I'm going to stop making videos for Pornhub, Tom. You tell me this isn't that bad?
All right, I'm going to start talking about mine.
What I don't like... I really don't like that yours is... So mine says, worst moment, YouTube and wank law, and yours says, worst moment, death.
I've started performing again recently, Jack.
Oh.
And I did a gig in London.
Comedy.
Yeah. I started performing. I took about a month and a half off after the tour, relaxed, felt really good. And in that month and a half, I decided something. I decided, right, my material I want to do, I actually find that the sort of truest version of me is on the podcast. And I want to try and do that on stage, but about like quite vulnerable topics.
Mm.
So I went up to London and I did this set about 5 minutes on this night that I love doing. It was like the anniversary. It was the 11-year anniversary that night. And I've been going there for a year.
Oh, wow.
And I did it, and it was like a week or two ago, and it went amazing. And I did a set. I did a set about my set that bombed. You know, where that shit one where I talked about my knob the whole time. My mum was in the room and it's terrible. Did a set about that set that bombed and it absolutely smashed. And I was talking like how I talk on the podcast and not doing that sort of weird Steve. And I loved it. And I went, this is it. I got booked last night to do a 10-minute set. I thought, you know, I'm going to do 10 minutes of new material. I asked the guy, I've been rehearsing it all week. Mm-hmm. Can I go over for like 12 minutes? He went, all right. Now, I've been writing a lot about vulnerable stuff, but I thought what I'm going to write about is like my granddad's dementia. Like, so what he was going through, you know, and it was quite funny the sort of period he was, I did a lot of like dark humor things that it was really funny. My mum and dad found hilarious, right? And it was really good. And I rehearsed it all day. I rehearsed it with my dad and he encouraged me as my dad does. He went, why don't you make this bit like a bit longer? Why don't you, you know, make this go on for a bit? That'll be funny. Why don't you do this? And I went, all right. And at the end of it, there's this bit where when my mum was really, really low, I like told her a load of super personal stuff to make her laugh really, really hard. And she found it really hilarious. And I talk a lot in the set about, oh, since my mum's divorce, our sort of boundaries have eroded a little bit. And sometimes she tells me stuff that's way too TMI and it's horrible. But it was really funny. Really good. So I prep it all day. And before the gig, I'm sat next to this guy and he's really nervous. And I've been chatting. I'm in the green room and I go, are you nervous? This American lady. She goes, no. And I go, all right. And then I'm sat waiting. I'm really nervous, Jack, because the whole survival tour, I get really, really nervous to do shows. And whenever I'm doing...
I was there.
I spin out badly before a show. Whenever I'm doing new material, which I sort of didn't do for the past 6 months before tour because just honing that, you know, maybe adding one joke, but 10 minutes of all new stuff, I get so nervous for what if it goes wrong.
Of course.
Especially this stuff because it's so from my heart, it's so vulnerable. And I'm sat next to this guy and I'm saying, I'm really nervous. He goes, I'm really nervous too, man. I go, oh my God. And we chat for ages and he's saying, look, you know, I'm saying my brain's trying to talk me out of it, saying I should be doing YouTube, I should be doing... And he's going, look, that means if you're trying to brain talking you out of it, that means you should do it because it means you actually... Your brain only talks you out stuff that there's actually a risk for you to do. Mm. All right. And he goes on before me, he does 5 minutes and he smashes it. And he comes off stage, he's so happy, gives me fist bump. And then I go on stage to do 13 minutes of material, 11 minutes about dementia and 2 minutes about my sex life. What I quickly find out after about 30 seconds is that dementia is not a very palatable subject for laughter. And I stand there for 11 minutes to silence. And I tell jokes to an audience of 45 people to silence, Jack. And I talk about my granddad and his death, and I talk about all these really dark things, and it's very sad. And what I now realise is I'm desensitised to things about dementia because I've been around it. The average person is not. I also do this thing where, because you lot sort of know me, I sort of sometimes play up like I'm being a bit of a knobhead. These audience don't know me. They just think I'm
an evil guy that laughs about dementia.
They just think I'm an arsehole. That when my mum said, granddad's dying, come and visit him, I went to the Minecraft movie premiere instead. This audience just thought I was a prick. And I have never had this before, Jack, in my life of performing at the school plays, at school talent shows. I've never had this before. But about 3 minutes in, after doing 3 minutes of dementia material to silence, I have never had this urge before. And I went, I want to run off stage. I'm going to run off. Your set, you know that you did in Gainesville, that didn't go well. That looked like a fucking beautiful set compared to this, Jack. Silence. And I thought, oh my God, I want to run off stage. And there were three girls on the front row who had very expressive faces. There was one guy who, I kid you not, had his head in his hands. And I could see him. And I genuinely, 3 minutes in, when I had 9 more minutes to go, nearly sprinted off stage. And I went, no, you're doing this, Tom. This is it. And I died up there. I did It's a Silence and I died. And I did it. And then the last 2 minutes I did about my sex life and it was not good. And I didn't want to. What I learned as well is don't talk about things that are incredibly challenging for you to talk about anyway. Also, with stand-up, it needs jokes. This is another thing I remember.
Tell a joke.
Not really, no. It was just really sad. For like 13 minutes. By the way, I got paid. I was one of the I got £20 for this. I got paid. I come off stage. The comedian is on before me, sprints back. And this is the first words he says to me. He goes, that was tough, but don't give up. And you know, if the first thing someone says to you after your comedy set is don't give up. Is you fucked it.
Don't give up.
And the other guy, who's the MC, says, hey, you're a great storyteller. You had him there. And I genuinely am thinking that was the worst 30 minutes of my whole life. I wanted to run off stage, Jack. This was last night. This was 12 hours ago. I wanted to run off stage. I wanted to curl up and I kept going. And I didn't stop. And I commit. And I did the bits that my... I've also learned I maybe need to stop letting my dad do that thing where he encourages me to make my jokes 5 minutes longer than they should be because he finds it really funny. And maybe you do as well. And I did that. And I was with a mate. And they said to me, their note to me was, this is their simple note, as a golden rule, they said it wasn't painful, but as a golden rule, don't talk about deeply disturbing things about people I love dying for more than 1 minute because it was too upsetting.
Oh, it says that right there, yeah.
Yeah. And at the end, the MC came on, he does a little roast and he just goes to me, everyone else, he does a long roast. And for me, he went, I can't believe I paid him. And that was it. I didn't even get a big roast. And it was the most... I could barely go back in. And I went back in and I held my head down in shame, Jack. But I came home and I went, if I can do that, I can do anything. Because that was the worst case.
That's the right way to
look. That was the worst case scenario. And it was bad. It was one of the worst moments of my entire life. Being on that stage to silence, thinking, "This, I'm not good at this. I'm not... It's going to take me a long, long, long time to be good." But the thing is, you learn very quickly. And the thing is, it wasn't like I was doing a persona, it was me. And they rejected me.
That's tough. That is tough.
It was one of the worst. It may well have been one of the worst. It was up there with finding out when my mate died and when my parents got divorced. It was so bad. It was actually awful. But I did it. And then I have a lot more to say about it later on. And actually, I took great personal growth from it. And actually, I've left it feeling very energized. It's been very helpful for making me feel very alive. But let me tell you, Jack.
That's what they say, isn't it? Near-death experiences.
No,
I imagine stage dying.
Mate, that wasn't near, mate. It was genuinely the most excruciating. I have the video too, all 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I won't be able to watch it. You know how I get so uncomfortable.
I came off stage with my dad and he went, "Well, I loved it." And I went, "Dad, I think I need to stop doing exclusively really challenging, weird bits to strangers that you like." And he went, "Hey, I think they were the problem, not you, son." I was like, "Mate."
He tries, doesn't he? Bless
you. Yeah, but it was the worst. It was agony, Jack. It was actually agony.
I actually don't really have...
I know, and that you were saying your age restriction. No, nothing's worse than that.
Oh, I don't know, though, because at least you got your 20 quid. You've earned more than me than I did for my fucking videos. So, I don't know, mate. Like, you know. You,
I told the guy, said...
That's mad. You earned more money than I did making those videos for telling jokes that made no one laugh. You failed. You failed and made more money than I did. Fucking miserable.
I said to him, "Don't pay me." And he went, "No, I will. You deserve it more than anyone."
It's so bad, Jack. Bless his heart.
Bless my heart, mate.
Well, you yeah. And all.
Anyway, yeah.
Fucking hell.
I have a lot more to talk about that.
Well, yeah. Well, before Patreon, we move on, Eleanor helped me. I was struggling with topics this week, and Eleanor helped me, my girlfriend. And she asked if she could submit her worst moment of the week. But I'll be honest, following up from yours, it seems really silly.
Yeah.
She just said it's been really humid at the minute in Brighton. It's ruining her air.
Oh, fuck off, Eleanor. Actually, fuck off. I've got bad air. You knobhead me. I died, Eleanor. I died. What do you mean you've got bad hair? For fuck's sake,
humid,
Eleanor.
Is making her hair.
Shella, quit whinging. Quit whinging, Eleanor. I'm not having none of that.
It's
really
warm.
Do you want to know the other thing?
Because
I felt the most relief and the most regret at the same time. Because I was going to perform... It is Tomedy in 2 nights, Jack. And I was going to perform that to my audience.
Oh, fucking hell.
Thank fuck I have bombed. But fuck my life, Jack. So anyway, we're in the... By the time this comes out, I will have done Tomedy, but we're in the interim right now. And I'm not nervous for anything anymore, Jack. You could shoot me in the head and I wouldn't be nervous for it, okay? I'm not nervous for nothing.
I've died before I felt it.
I've died. I know what it's like, all right? And ultimately, it's peaceful.
It's like Jeremy Renner.
Because when you're up there, nothing can touch you, all right? You're already dead.
Until someone throws something.
I was a dead man walking. Someone could have threw a brick at me. Someone could have killed me in that moment and I would have thought, yeah. I wouldn't have rejected it, all right? I was one with the spiritual world. I was in a flow state that one
flow state.
That a normal man couldn't access.
Just shit flowing out of you.
Just, oh. I rehearsed all day. Spent all day rehearsing, memorizing, getting right what I was going to get so wrong. Oh.
All right.
Sweaty. I've got bad ash.
You,
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Anyway,
you read a book.
I'll calm down. I'm done with it now.
Yeah, because you've got to do the next point. Apparently, you read a book.
Sounds riveting. I've got ADHD.
Yeah, but do you, or have you just read a book about it?
Nah, I got it. But I do. Self-diagnosed.
Yeah, that's what I was. Have you just read a book and decided this is the first step? And I'll be honest, mate, I believe you, but I don't think you can
Here's the thing, right? I'll actually.
A bit of stolen valor right now. I'm sort of getting pissed off.
Nah, I've got it, mate. I've actually got it.
Yeah. Where'd you get your credentials? Who diagnosed you?
Me, mate. I'm well smart. What I'm saying is, I read this book, right? Do you know I've been reading all these horrible self-help books? They're all like, oh, live in the moment. I'm going, well, that's a bloody problem. If I knew how to live in the moment, I wouldn't be bloody reading this book, would I, twat? Spent hundreds of quid on these shit books, Jack.
Mm.
Finally, I read this one about ADHD that my mate's reading. I read it. I go, can I have a look at that? It's like reading a bloody toolkit to my own brain, a bloody manual, like them Lego instructions. And I'm reading it, and it's just like, oh, this is me. And I read it all in like a day. And now I feel at peace. Finally, it felt like the missing key.
What have you learned about yourself?
Well,
break it down. I'm an expert on this sort of thing on account of that's me too.
I feel like I'm underachieving. It will get deep. I feel like I'm underachieving all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's because there's this thing. This is new research called the TPN, which is when you have a task, you're very focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the DMN, otherwise known as the demon, it can be called, is when you're not focused on something that your imagination still keeps thriving. So it imagines all the worst things and then it froze me. And I realized my strong sense of imagination has been destroying me.
I get that.
A lot of things about what people with ADHD do is try to figure out how to stop the pain. Whereas really you must embrace the pain and focus on things you love. So when you're getting all these intrusive thoughts and horribleness, you mustn't give in to them. You should just like distract yourself and, because you're constantly understimulated, you should just like listen to really loud music or do really intense physical exercise, and that ups your dopamine levels. So whenever I've been getting thrown, I just stick on a bit of loud music or I go gym and do like a really intense.
Yeah, I bash it because of the dopamine. There's loads of dopamine that releases, loads of other stuff too, but I'll not get into that.
All of our viewers are like,
it's just, I'm just telling
you. Our viewers are like teenage ladies, real. Mate. Our viewers are teenage ladies. Do you really want to say? As someone who just spoke about his sex life, it's sex life to a load of people. Trust me, Jack, it's a slippery slope to fall down.
This isn't my sex life, man.
No one wants to hear about your wank life,
it's,
mate.
But it's medicinal. Medicinal wanking.
No, it's quit speaking about wanking.
Whenever I'm unmotivated and I've got I can
all
tell
our teenage
dopamine
ladies. Do you remember when we was in that restaurant shop, Jack, and these two
if
teenage,
you keep saying it like that, that's
and
true.
Them and them teenage ladies came up to us and went, I love your podcast. Imagine them right now. I can't remember their names, but we were in that Korean restaurant.
One of them
imagine them. They're hearing right now you talking about your wanking to the all
medicinally
hundreds of thousands of teenage ladies hearing about you wanking.
It's just when I'm unmotivated and I can tell it's because my dopamine's low, quick boost of the dopamine, on with the day, get my work done.
That is horrible.
It's like taking
Mirren is cringing over
it's like
there.
It's taking a pill.
It's not taking a pill. It's disgusting. Just get medicated. Just get ADHD pills.
Yeah, but they keep putting it behind those pesky appointments. No wanking appointment, mate.
Well,
I have to check in with me. Hello, do you want to wank? Yes, please. Like, it's just great. It's great. It works really well. So that's my advice to you, Tom. If you have ADHD as well, try bashing it.
That's horridness.
I just think the loud music is that it's sometimes a bit loud. It's a bit much.
Anyway, so we're constantly understimulated. So I've been doing that and now I feel much better and finally at peace with myself. And like I'm actually making some great emotional growth and strides. And I feel very happy once again. I'm beginning to feel light.
That's good.
And loads of people mistake the fact that they have depression for ADHD, and really it's like, oh, actually.
Wait, you mean the other way around? They mistake the fact they have depression. Oh, wait, no.
That's what I said. No,
wait.
What are you doing? Just let me
say the way you worded that is wrong.
No, it wasn't.
You're saying people think they have depression when they have ADHD.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not what you said, though.
That is exactly what I said. You can go back, you can rewind.
No, you know, if you're mistaking that you have...
Hey, you're understimulated right now, and it's causing you to act out and be a dick, all right? Go for a wank if you need to. Just get out.
Don't invite me, mate.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Be straight in those toilets. No, that's a joke.
Horrible.
I'm not. I really don't.
You're a pervert.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Anyway, this book, I'll get it in a minute. It's called ADHD, Your Toolkit to Thriving and Understanding. And let me tell you, mate, I'm thriving and understanding, right? Obviously, I'm not, because that horrible night I had last night, I'm actually failing right now. But
yeah, no, bless your heart.
But I'm on the way to thriving. And I'm connecting with you. I'm getting a little bit of love. That's what you got to do, says in the book.
The DLB.
What's that?
David Lynch Bond. You don't remember the David Lynch Bond, man.
What's your next point? I've been talking for too long and I'm ashamed.
It's all right. I went to the premiere. I was very kindly invited by Meta to the premiere of Wednesday season 2.
Oh, yeah. Did you like season 1?
I loved season 1 and watched it all. Anyway.
What was your favourite bit?
Probably episode 1.
Yeah.
Because in that one, that's when they introduce Wednesday. And I liked that Sophia Richie was one of the teachers, because Richie was it that played Wednesday in the Addams Family? Was it Sophia? Christina Richie was one of the teachers, because she played Wednesday in the Addams Family movie, and they but obviously she's too old to be Wednesday now, so they brought her in to be one of the teachers. I thought what a nice little way to keep her involved, so I liked that as well. And that's what I remember about season 1, because I watched it all. Anyway.
The dance was good.
There was a dance.
All right, so you went to this
anyway,
TV
they invited
premiere,
me to the premiere of season 2, and I watched a great summary of season 1 on YouTube. And I went, and it was, you know what? It was a really bloody good event. Like, I tell you what, you can tell it's Netflix's biggest English-speaking show. And you could tell they really fucking know it. You know what I mean? Like, it was an event. It was in the, where was it? The venues for it were great, because it was an after party in the Royal Opera House.
Fucking hell.
I thought that was fucking insane. But then the original, it was in a cathedral, the bloody premiere. It was insane. Really, really cool, though. Watched the first episode. Absolutely great. Enjoyed it. You know, all the cast are there. I get dressed up in full. I did a full black suit, but not even with a white shirt. Black shirt, black tie. I thought,
blinking heck.
I liked it. I thought, you know, I enjoyed it. Eleanor was there. Have a lovely time. But then, as I say, it's a whole event, right? It starts at like, I think it starts.
You look great in all black.
Thank you very much. I liked my outfit. I thought, there's
a
match.
I bet it went bloody hard.
I'll show you right now.
No,
you big me up too much, and I need.
I bet one in every five of housemates would love this.
I need to hear you say it's good.
Oh, that's hard, mate. Good on you. Fist bump for that. Did you wear the Meta glasses?
Yeah, well, Meta invited me, so I thought I'll wear the glasses. And also, what I have found is with the glasses, I will give them their praise here. I'm really bad at forgetting to take pictures and videos. And when the camera's on my face, and I can just do that, I remember way quicker. Or like if I can just like if I film my experience at the premiere by just clicking go and then forgetting about it. Like I can still be in the moment and enjoy it.
Let's keep hearing about this premiere.
Anyway, premiere's great, but it's a whole event. I think I got there genuinely at like just gone 3. Like, I think I got to the bit, there was a pre-drinks and Meta, and then we went. I think I was there from like 3:30, and the whole thing went through till midnight. It was an event, right?
Blinking heck.
But yeah, so anyway, premiere's on. Premiere's like from like 6 till 8. Then at 8, they do the after party of the Royal Opera House. Luckily, I'm not one of the plebeians. I'm there with freaking Meta. They treat us nice. I don't get put on the coach to the after party. We get cabs. They get us a cab straight there, so I get the cab to the after party.
Good lad.
This means I show up relatively early, right? So as I'm walking in, it's me, few other people from the Meta thing, right? We show up and I'm walking through the door to the after party, and you'll never guess who walks in at the same time as me. Steve Buscemi and his missus.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So Steve, I'm like quite excited because Steve Buscemi's in this season. I was quite gassed by that.
That's Randall.
I love seeing Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi, Steve fucking Buscemi.
He's Randall, you know.
He's Spy Kids too. Do you think God stays in heaven because he too fears what he's created?
Like Randall?
I really don't know who that is.
From Monsters, Inc.
Is he?
He's Randall, mate.
No way.
You met Randall.
I met Randall.
You met Randall.
I think he's Mr. Pink in Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir Dogs is my second favourite film ever. Wanted to tell Steve, but never got the opportunity. Anyway.
Steve. First name, right?
Steve Buscemi walks in at the same time we do. So as I'm walking through the door where all the security are checking the wristbands, I'm walking shoulder to shoulder with Steve Buscemi through the door, right? Just coincidence. Don't really chat to him or anything. I gave him a nod, but like, you know.
Did he nod back?
Can't remember.
He didn't.
Don't think he did. give him a little nod. But anyway, and then the security go, oh yeah, just this way. And they gesture me this way. And they take us to some lifts. And I pop in the lift. Steve waits. I go in with my mates. I thought, Steve, get in if you want.
But where's Eleanor?
Eleanor's, she was invited by Netflix because she's with Netflix. So we're both there, but we're not like traveling together. Like I'm thinking I'll see her when she's there. You know what I mean? Because she's going on the coach with the Netflix lot.
Yeah. Oh, she's on coach, is she? Yeah, come on.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Bump it.
Anyway, mate. I don't know if that's true, actually.
She's on coach with the
I don't
shit
actually
there.
Know. I don't know. Maybe Netflix got her a cab. I really don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I get there. Get in the lift, go upstairs. I get upstairs and I see like the lad who plays Pugsley in the show. And I'm thinking, wow, it's like a mixed. Because it does happen ever, like occasionally.
Usually they separate the cast and the influencers. TikTokers.
Yeah, usually. But I have known it to be mixed a couple of times. I thought, oh, cool, mixed one. Nice. It's really cool. Get there and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of people from the show. I'm not seeing many of the influencers. But I'm like, we're on like this balcony in the Royal Opera House. I look down to the floor. I go, oh, there's all them influencers. And suddenly I think, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. But I've not snuck in. Like they've just, I think what's happened is, because I've walked in with Steve Buscemi, they went, oh, he's one of Steve's mates. Up you come. As I'm dressed up in all the clothes and I've got the wristband. They go, oh yeah, he's Steve's mate. So here it is. Me, Steve Buscemi's friend, up in the
Randall's mate.
Steve's plus one, apparently. Well, Steve's plus three because there was a few of us that all got pushed in the Steve train. There's like, I think there was like four of us. You know her. She's on your management. Yami.
Oh yeah,
she was there. She was one of Steve's mates.
You know, in the new like Seth Rogen show, The Studio. It's Seth Rogen, Steve, and Martin Scorsese do a scene together.
Yeah, anyway, and there's me, Steve's mate. So Steve's mate up there, and I get up and I think, you know what? Maybe I'm not supposed to be here. But I also thought to myself, I didn't break any rules getting in, and until anyone asked me to leave, I'm just going to stay here. So I stayed there all night, and it was cool. I had a great time.
Did you meet Jenna?
I didn't meet her. She was there. I didn't speak to her.
What was Jenna like?
I don't know. I didn't speak to her.
Why? Why would you not go up? Why would you not get a selfie with
Jenna? I had this real sense of, the whole time I'm like, maybe I am allowed to be here, but maybe I'm not. I'm not sure. I don't want to go up to someone and be like, hi, Jenna Ortega. I'm a big fan. And she goes, who the fuck are you? And I get kicked out. I was like worried. So I was like,
I bet all the actors felt like that too with imposter
syndrome.
Well,
maybe. I spoke briefly to the lad who played Pugsley.
Who's Pugsley?
Wednesday's brother. You know, I had a quick chat with him. Like, you know, I had brief little interactions with people, but I didn't really. I mainly just stuck to like the people that had accidentally been sent up with me. But I had a great
night.
Where's
Eleanor?
Oh, she was down on the floor. No, don't worry. I texted her saying they've let me up into the cast bit. And she's like, I'm down at the floor. And I waved at her and messaged her saying, I'm going to stay. And she went, fair play.
I'm going to stay.
It was fair.
You're such a shit boyfriend.
No, she was cool with it. She gave me approval. Saw her afterwards. Eventually, I went down. Stayed for
a bit. Why did you not go say hi to Jenna or who else was there? That's a good
I just don't want to be that guy. I hate, you know this feeling. You know when you're like at a thing and then someone's like clearly waiting, they're staring at you, waiting to talk to you the whole time like that. And they're like, oh, just come over or don't, man.
Yeah, just you should have gone over.
Yeah, but sometimes you know when I said come over or don't, man, sometimes I think, and I hope you choose don't, man.
I would have gone over to Steve. I would have got a selfie with Jenna. Would have said, oh, Jenna, it's me.
But imagine if I went around being the guy that got a selfie with everyone. I just think that's like you got to play, like, I'm like, I'm already maybe not supposed to be here. I feel like if I'm a cool vibe, then all of a sudden it's not so bad. But if I'm like this sort of jarring guy who's banging selfies, then yeah, kick me out.
But go, oh, Jenna, I liked you in You. He was good in that.
I haven't seen.
Oh, thank you. And then I go, should we get a photo, me and you? I'm also a bit of a, I'm Tommy Innit.
This is why I think you wouldn't have lasted.
What?
I think they would have asked you to leave.
I wouldn't really have gone, I'm Tommy in it. I would have gone,
I'm a niche amateur stand-up comedian.
I go, hey, Jenna, speaking of Wednesday, that's...
solid day, hump day.
Solid day, innit? Hump day. Oh, no, let's not turn it that way, Jenna. Blink an egg, I've only just met. But why don't we get a photo, eh? Should we get a photo? Because your fans would love it, my fans would love it, it's a mutual... And should we get a pint as well after? Do you know what I mean? Obviously, what's it called?
Professionally.
Provisional.
Provisional?
No, where it's not romantic.
Platonically?
Platonically. Platonic provisionally. Pint. I'll get you platonic pint, Jenna, all right? I'm not looking for anything right now. I'm very happy.
But anyway, I made like a bit of small talk.
I'll give
people,
you a bit of advice on social media. You can listen to some of my tales. Got tales, Jenna.
Be honest, you don't really want to give
Jen,
her anything.
Oi, Jen, come on. Jen, you're bored.
So anyway, I didn't do this, but eventually I got bored up there. Hadn't really been talking to anyone interesting. So I went, you know what? Bored. I mean, other than the people I'd already been talking to, I'd sort of been like, you know what, I'm going to go down and see my girlfriend. So I go down. But it's sort of, like, it's getting towards the end of the night. It's cleared out.
Have you
bit.
Had many drinks?
Oh, God, have I had a lot of drinks. I'm in the fucking after party. Steve Buscemi sat right there, mate. I was guzzling wine. I was trying to egg myself on to go say hi and tell Steve Buscemi's in my second favourite film ever. But I thought, one more glass of wine and I'll go. Anyway, 10 glasses of wine later, I've still not bothered.
10?
It actually might have been, to be fair.
Fucking
I had
hell,
three at the Prem.
That's because you're understimulated and you're solving it. I know you now because I'm a...
Yeah, because the ADHD. Yeah. Anyway, eventually I go down. As I say, I've had 10 glasses of wine. And what's happening on the ground floor, because it's a themed party, is there are people dressed as zombies. Well, I think zombies. Like walking around, sort of like, you know, what's their little family butler in the Addams Family? He has a funny name. He's like, he looks a bit like Frankenstein.
Don't know, mate.
You
should
remember.
Know because you love Wednesday.
I do, but I'm terrible with names. Anyway, Lurch, there it is. Miriam remembers Lurch. Oh, yeah. They kind of Lurch looking fellas walking around, like, you know, and I go down and I'm like, this will be a laugh. So I keep going up to them, going, all right, zombies. And obviously they're in character and they don't talk. I'm going, got a glass of wine, man. I'm going, drunk some. And they go, and I go, come on. I'm not going to tell anyone. Like, I know you're not supposed to, but like, I'm sure you've been here all night. Everyone else is drinking. Surely you want a little tipple. And they're going, I go, you're not getting paid enough, man. Come on. This job ain't worth it. Just have a bit of fun. And I'm like really trying to break them and I'm smiling. And one of them was really, you know, he was strong and he sort of went, oh, and he walked away. I do it to the next one, this lady. I'm going, come on. You want a drink? She goes, and I see her like lips start to quiver and she like quickly walks away and I start laughing my ass off because I thought I've won. I made her laugh. But at that point, they call them all into the back, right? Because I guess their shift's done as zombies. And I thought, you know, I'm feeling pretty achieved because I made a couple of them smile. And, I'm like, I know they're not supposed to, but I'm not going to grass them up. I know I'm doing it now, but oh well. Anyway, afterwards, they all come back out and they've all taken the makeup off and stuff. And I don't clock at first, but when one of them smiles at me and waves and I go, the zombie, and I go over, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I know you're trying to stay in character, but I thought it was too funny. And they were like, no, it was a good laugh. Like everyone's just been ignoring us all night. It was nice to have someone have a little go. And they're all like, and to be honest, we really did want those drinks, but we can't. And I was like, oh, bless you. Anyway, I got really matey with all the zombies. I was like, they were my mates for the night after that. I turned around after talking to the zombies for a while. Everyone had left. Everyone had left the party. I'm not even joking. My
even
own
Eleanor.
Girlfriend had left.
What? Jack?
Everyone had left.
You pinned up your girlfriend.
I didn't pin her off. I was talking to the zombies. She left. No one told me they were leaving.
Where did she go?
They went out to a club, everybody. They all carried on. I was chatting to the zombies. It hit midnight. I turned around. I went, everyone's left. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it's closing now. They thought I was part of the fucking closing staff because I've been talking to the zombies. So I'm like there in the Royal Opera House after close. I'm in the green room with the zombies chilling because I've got no more friends. I just kept ending up in places I shouldn't be. First, they thought I was a member of the cast. Then they thought I was a member of staff. Fucking just kept ending up on side quests. So a cheers, Meta. It was the best side quest night I've ever had. But I really great. Like... There was never a point God. Where I was where I was supposed to be, I think, all night.
That's ace.
It was really fun. I had the best night ever.
That is great, man. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Anyway, what else have we got?
I had a funny one this week. So yeah. I just made this Square video called The Loneliest Time of My Life, right? It was a Square video about loneliness.
Yeah. Are you feeling better now?
I wasn't even feeling bad when I made the video. It's just a retrospective.
I thought not. That's what threw me off.
Well, did you watch it?
Well, this is how it went. You messaged us the day you made that video saying, does anyone want to hang out tonight? And I said, oh, I've got a stream, but maybe afterwards. I end my stream. I go, look, should we hang out then? I hear you're having the loneliest time of your life. But then, because you didn't respond, I watched the video and then I messaged you back and went, never mind, fuck off. You're not even having it the loneliest time. This was months ago. You're talking about months ago. You don't even need me to hang out with you. I thought you were lonely. I thought I was doing an act of service. Anyway.
But yeah, anyway, I filmed this video and I get this new nice little digital camera. I've been loving filming on it. I've been going around, taking shots around. Thank you. I've been, you know, loving it. My mate showed it to me. I've been going around filming. And I'm in this lovely park that I love. And there's like a little festival thing going on that they're setting up for. I'm getting this awesome shot of these chairs. I'm doing it for like a minute. And then I realise I'm just filming this lady.
What?
I'm crouched over like filming a woman on my little digital camera by accident. It's like mid-20s woman.
What do you mean by it? How have you done that?
Well, I was just trying to film the setting up of the festival, but I realised it was just her. And I'm sat filming.
And I'm she's the only one setting up?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like,
but then there's this other bloke and I finish filming, I walk away. Then he comes up to me and goes, you're right. And I go, yeah. And he goes, can I see that? And I go, yeah. He goes, I'm really into cameras. He's obviously not. He's just a bit like trying to suss me out. And so I show him and I don't know what to do. So I just look at him and I go, I'm not a pervert, by the way.
That'll convince him.
I know it looked like I didn't mean to just be filming that girl. I was just filming the setting up. And he went, yeah. And he went, I'm into photos. I went, oh yeah, well, this is more of a video. And he went, yeah, all right. And then he walked off. But I just felt like...
I think he might have been genuine. Some people just have that energy. You've met my brother.
No,
like,
no.
He always has that energy. He'll ask genuine things, but it comes off.
He like spoke to the girl and then as I was filming, they were both looking at me and then he came over. It was bad.
No, yeah.
But I didn't mean to be...
You were on perv watch.
Yeah, I didn't mean to be, though. I apologised everything. I said, oh, I'm not a pervert.
No, that only, I know you're not, but...
Sometimes that only makes you sound like more of a pervert.
It does. I think in this situation, it does.
I'm glad I got it off my chest. But anyway, yeah.
Did you even use the shot in the video?
No, it was rubbish. Just shot some woman, mate.
Some woman with some
chairs. Crap shot. No, of course it didn't.
Fair enough. I had this, not yesterday.
You also got mistaken for being a pervert.
A little bit, yes. On the tube. On the tube. I was on the tube.
A little bit, yes.
I was on the tube on the way back from, or on the way to Oasis. On the way to Oasis.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Oasis on Sunday. Talk about that in a minute. I was on the tube on the way there. And I keep using the Meta glasses as headphones because they're sunglasses, because they're transitions and they have speakers built in. So I keep using them just to like listen to music and wear sunglasses because like, yeah. I don't like in-ears and my overhead headphones.
Do they work on the tube?
Yeah, because they have like an adaptive sound. So like if it gets really loud, it turns them up even higher. It's very good. Anyway, I'm on the tube listening to some music, but it was paused. So I'm sort of like...
I might have paying you this for the moment because you're giving them an awful fucking lot of promo for these bloody Meta glasses.
They gave them me and I just
I thought they looked sort of cool, but now I've seen Mark Zuckerberg wearing them and he always wears them. You two look a bit similar, and now I think you look like a knobhead when you wear them.
No.
You actually do look quite a lot like Mark Zuckerberg.
I do as well.
I
saw someone change with AI his face to my face the other day, and it wasn't that different.
That's really bad as well.
That is bad, but also not that different. Anyway, I'm on the train, and what you do is you tap the side of the frame to pause and play your music. And my music, I paused it to talk to Ellie, and I like sort of did that and played it. She was sat down. She was next to me. We were stood in front of, it was really rammed because obviously Oasis. And there were people sat in front of us And then, like, I was stood in front of the chair, so I'm sort of facing someone sat in front of me, not really thinking about it, because you just switch off, don't you? I'm sort of, like, there, just looking out the window, and I click play to turn on my music, and the, like, I'd say, like, teenage lad in front of me sort of went at me, because I guess he saw the glasses with cameras on, and then saw me kind of look at him and go, tap, which doesn't take a picture, it just plays the music. But I think he thought I'd looked at him, tapped a little picture of him, and... like moved on. So he looked at me a bit gone out, and I just went, I didn't even speak. I couldn't think how to explain it. I just went, oh, no. Which probably made it more confusing if he wasn't looking.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to do because I was just trying to play my music.
Yeah, really, I'm going to say it because we went on a walk and I had a really deep chat with you, but you had your Meta glasses on with this big lens, but they're very invasive. If you're the not you, it really is off-putting seeing someone with a lens on their eyes looking at you.
I get that, but also there's a big white light when they're filming.
It don't feel nice being around. It feels like I'm around
RoboCop.
They're
really good sunglasses.
You know what I mean?
Everyone always takes the piss when I wear them. But at the end of the day, like the lenses transition and they have headphones.
If you just
sunglasses having headphones is the best.
Put a sticker over the lens. It'll be fine. Put a little black sticker over the lens and just say you're not going to take photos on them. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but at the same time, like occasionally I want to take a picture on it.
All they need is a little like slider that you slide on the lens or off.
That would be good.
That's all
that
they need.
That would be good.
But
actually,
right now you just look a bit weird. You do look, not even, look quite weird with them. It's off-putting.
I know what you're saying.
It's off-putting.
A lot of people had them on at the Wednesday premiere, actually.
Of course, because they're all knobheads.
I was upstairs in the cast bit, and like a few people were wearing them, and I kept going, nice glasses, and they wouldn't get it. And then I'd like press the camera button and it light up, and I was like, look, we're on a level.
Right, let's move off Meta.
All right, man. We'll move on. You know this already, but I thought I'd tell it anyway because the viewers will like it. I had a dream that you pissed yourself in my kitchen. I was well annoyed at you. I told you about this. I had a dream that Tom got really drunk and you came... I don't really know why you came back to my house instead of like your own. I don't really remember. But you came back to my house really, really drunk. And then as you do, because of your weak bladder...
I do have that.
You started pissing. I just remember looking at you and you were really drunk and then all of a sudden your crotch went really like, you know, in like the colour of someone's jeans changes.
Yeah.
It's like, you're pissing yourself and you started laughing. You're like, I know, I can't stop.
That actually sounds like something I do.
I know. It was very in character. And you're just pissing and it was just going everywhere. You're just like you're not like doing anything about it. And I'm like, aim, good, piss in the sink. Because like you're in my kit. I'm like the nearest receptor. I'm like, put it in the sink. Stop fucking just pissing all over the floor.
I'd get drunk enough I'd do that.
I know. Yeah. It was very believable.
Yeah.
And I was like, just fucking... I'm like, grab it and aim. And you wouldn't listen. And you end up like pissing all down my fucking washing machine. It goes down the back of the washing machine.
Ugh,
I end up having to pull...
Bit
of my washing machine's like, how heavy are they? I had to pull it out and clean behind the washing machine because you pissed everywhere.
But this was a big lie.
It was a big dream.
Yeah.
But anyway, I woke up in the morning well pissed off with you because it felt very real.
I've had some real stuff because alongside having lots of coffee, which is a laxative, and pre-show extreme nerves.
They give you the shits nerves.
I've genuinely, yesterday, I was practically on the toilet all day.
That's pooing though.
Yeah, but obviously you do a little bit of wee.
Yeah, but in this, you didn't do any poo, you just weed all
over the kitchen. I'm just trying to relate it to real life. People like when you do that.
I really didn't like that you peed all over my kitchen, man.
Well, let's keep going because that was a lie. And you can't
all
just
right.
be lying about me.
It was pride. It was pride. Brighton pride. So Brighton has its own pride.
Noisy, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, but... Yeah, you know, I feel like it's a net positive.
Yeah.
Anyway, went to pride. This is the first time I've ever actually seen the parade. I always woke up too late because it's like...
It is early, yeah.
It's like 11. It's not even that early. But like, I just... I can never be bothered to get out of my house that early. But this year, I was like, you know what? I'm watching the Pride Parade. And I went and watched it. A friend of mine has a hat, like his house, from the window, you can see down on the street. So we went to his and we just had a few drinks and we watched out the window.
At 11?
No. Parade starts at 11. We went to his later.
Yeah.
You saw me in the morning. We were having drinks at 10.
You had a drink?
We were all having a drink at breakfast.
I didn't have a drink at breakfast. I'm not a psycho.
You were the only one that didn't have a drink at breakfast. Everyone else had a drink at breakfast.
Bloody
it's pride.
Brighton, innit? Fucking hell.
Anyway.
Town of lazy.
You know, we went, we're watching the parade and, you know, we're having fun and we're looking at all the floats and Tesco come past with their float.
Yeah.
Everyone has a float, it turns out.
Very corporate event.
Never seen it. It's a very corporate event.
Yeah.
Anyway, then a big bunch comes. I don't mean to, like, you never want to take the piss out of them. NHS comes past. Big float. Lot of NHS workers there. Don't know if you've been hearing the news. I heard the NHS was understaffed. Don't know if you saw this parade, Tom. There were enough to run a hospital. There were plenty. And I kept thinking to myself, not trying to be funny, because a friend of ours posted on her Instagram story that she had to go to A&E that morning. I thought, she's not fucking getting seen. They're all here. I can see them. I can see all the NHS staff. And then to make matters worse, I thought the NHS are done. Fire service come. Right? Then fucking 3 ambulances came with ambulance workers. Who's fucking saving lives today? If you were getting in trouble on Pride, no one was there, man. No one was there. You're going to hospital, no one's seeing you. If you need an ambulance, they're all in the fucking parade driving by blaring fucking ba-dum. Fucking no one's there to save you on Pride, turns out. Hey, anyway, I thought, but then, you know, because it was the NHS, I thought back to, because we were clapping out the window at everyone, because it was NHS, I said to my mate, grab pots and pans, started banging pots and pans like it was COVID. The NHS thought it was funny.
Did they do that in Mansfield?
Yeah, they were banging the pots and pans.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we started banging pots and pans like it was COVID again, and all the staff were like, "Wait, they liked it." And then my friend kept screaming, "Like COVID!" down. It was strange, but it was fun.
I actually went to the parade.
Yeah, I know.
But I could only stay about 10 minutes.
Why?
Oh, too much.
What's your issue?
It was just not. It was bloody early in the morning, 11 a.m. It was, I was having a bit of a rough.
That's the latest hour of the morning, the last morning hour.
I was having a rough morning. I was having a bloody rough morning because my mum had gone into emergency surgery.
That's true, yeah. That's
and I'm
true.
Looking at all these happy people and thinking, well, I'm bloody glad you're happy. But where's the sort of like, I was very happy for him, but I just thought it's a bit noisy. And I'd like to...
I like the Tesco drag queen.
Yeah.
I said her name was probably Amelia Deal.
It were... Yeah, that's pretty good.
Good one, that.
It was a good... That's actually excellent.
Cheers, mate.
It was excellent. And I'm all for Pride. I just want that morning. I wanted a lion.
Fair enough.
And instead I was sat here.
I had a great Pride, though. I went around, went to a couple of mates' houses. Saw everyone. Justin did a gig at the pub.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did a gig at the pub. Did a little blues gig with an artist, Little Victor.
Little Victor.
Have you met Little Victor?
Of course I've seen Little Victor.
I saw Little Victor for the first time. We went to see Little Victor at Paris House.
Fuck.
All right. Whole show. I'll be honest, it was a very good show. It wasn't particularly Pride themed. So he did 3 sets until his very last set. He finally went, "I hear today's gay Pride. I'm going to come out. I'm coming out. My whole life, I've been a lesbian." Started playing. I thought, no, Little Victor. My friend Tommy Innit did that and it gets you in trouble. I went, no, my friend Tommy Innit learned the hard way years ago. You can't say that, Little Victor.
You have to learn. Explain to the audience who Little Victor is.
I don't really know. He's just a blues musician.
He's the biggest character ever, isn't he?
I've really not spoken to him. I just saw him perform.
No, but from his performance, he's American, isn't he? And he's just the most...
I don't know, I just heard him sing blues. What he kept doing is he kept rocking them. He was like a proper old school microphone and kept rocking it back and forth. And I kept thinking, in a minute, he's going to lose control and hit someone in the head.
He's quite an older bloke. He's been doing the blues scene for like 30 years. And we see him in Bright. I've seen him a couple of times. I met Justin Giggs with him. He's just amazing. He's the most person ever.
I can't really understand him. His accent's like a bit...
He's level 100 something, but I don't know what it is.
Because he kept talking, like... I'll be honest, the lesbian joke was the only thing I actually understood him say
I love him.
Because the microphone's not... It's like an old school one. So it's like a bit fried anyway.
I should just get him to do like 5 minutes of comedy. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Just perform blues.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
My brother came down for Pride. First time he's ever been to Pride, because Mansfield doesn't really have it. So he'd never really been to a Pride event before. You know, for him, he's not a big fan of crowds.
Sure.
Especially down south, because he reckons everyone's rude. Because, like, you know, he'd let people pass and they just ignore him. They kept going, "Oh, sorry," really loudly to them as they walked past, because he was pissed off that they wouldn't say thanks to him.
They are rude.
He's very annoyed. But as we went through the day and we'd had more and more drinks, he just got really chatty with everyone, but really, really northern. And I think he was getting a kick out of the fact that people would, like, not really understand him. Remember, we were in the toilets at the pub and, like, some guy couldn't use the Android. I was like, fair enough, Arkin, you just have to leave it out, aren't you? And then another guy came and tried to use the Android. He went, "Oh, mate, it don't work, it don't work." He used it. He went, "Oh, fair enough, you got magic touch, you." Just kept talking to me. Everyone in the toilet. Like, just made conversation with everyone. It was making me howl. But yeah, it was nice seeing him. It was nice seeing him, like, sort of bring a bit of Mansfield to Pride.
Bring a bit of heart to this goddamn soulless town.
I thought it was amazing. Yeah. I had a great time.
It's not really soulless, Brian. It's got a lot of soul.
It's got a lot of soul, but it ain't got the same soul.
It's not got manners.
No manners.
No manners.
He
no
bought manners.
He good at
bro. He bought Mansfield manners.
Yeah, good
bro.
On him. Manners anyway. Do you know what they say? Manners make a bloody man. So that's the right man you got there.
That's our man, that's our kid.
That's our Josh Manifold. That's our man.
Yeah.
Right. I went on this podcast, right?
Yeah.
I went on this podcast. It was about mental health. It was by this amazing... Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
It was by this bloody amazing guy called Paul Brunson, right? He's Married at First Sight.
Married at First Sight,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't know about this. He's called We Need to Talk. It was amazing. It was a 3-hour interview Jackie did, and he got everything out of me. He got stuff I couldn't even say to you on it. He was amazing. He was such a good interviewer. But at the end of the podcast, he gave me something. And I'm going to just go get it for you now. Because I couldn't believe this.
All right. Just to let you know, we only have 6 minutes left and I've got a lot of stories to tell, so. We've got loads to tell. Getting worried here, mate. No one can hear you, Tom. Nope. Well, no. Wait till you say... Right, you can speak now.
Weird was there was a photographer on the podcast and he gave me a book and it were photos of the podcast and he gave me the second I were done. And it's me on the... I'll show this to the audience. Photos of me on the podcast as I was on it. And they've printed it out and gave me a photo book of me from right now.
Bloody hell.
I know. And what do we give our guests? We just slag them off. We need to start making our guests feel special, Jack, because I felt bloody special.
Yeah,
when
but
I did
how well is this Patreon doing? Because I'm not trying to be funny. Ours is all right, but at the same time, like, I don't know if we have the budget to get all this printed in time.
I'm just saying we need a little something that makes us... Our guests feel special, all right? I don't know what it is. Maybe we give them a worm.
That's a really sweet message, actually.
Yeah, read the message.
The message says, "Tom, I'm so proud my boys love you because I love you too."
We connected very deeply, me and Paul. Very, very deeply.
Yeah, wow.
I don't know. Will it be out by the time this podcast is out? We'll put it in the description if it is. Yeah, yeah. But yeah. It was blinking.
Bloody hell.
What a beautiful thing.
That is a really nice thing. Again, we don't have the budget for that. But
I talk very positively about you on it. Talk about how you're a good man.
Oh, thanks.
It's all right. You're
nice.
A good man.
Next time, anyway, I do a podcast, I'll say that
well,
about
you.
You're
on one right now. You could say it right now.
Not quite the same.
All right.
I went to Oasis. Like I said, I went to Oasis. I said I wanted to talk about it a bit more. Went to Oasis on Sunday. I've always liked Oasis. Big fan of Definitely Maybe. Great album.
I've never listened. More of a Bruce guy.
Yeah, well, you've heard Wonderwall though. You've heard Back so in Anger. That's Wonderwall. That's the other one. Don't Look Back in Anger.
That's their one, isn't it?
What?
That's Oasis.
Wonderwall, Don't Look Back in Anger. My favourite's Married with Children. They didn't perform that. I'm a bit pissed
never
off.
Never heard that.
But yeah, you know, they did all their songs. It was good. I think I got a bit ripped off though.
How much were the tickets?
It was £250 a ticket.
Fucking hell, was it amazing? Was it?
It went immediately though. It went like they. I managed through luck to get pre-sale, and even but I wanted to get standing. By the time I got to pre-sale, standing was gone. Like it was It was ridiculous. So I got like the best seats I could get for like not spending £1 million.
Yeah,
costs like £250 per person.
Fuck it. How many people went?
Four of us.
Oh, right, is it all on you? Surely they chipped in. Fucking hell, wow. You're a good man. You're a good man, Jack. You are a good man.
I must admit,
as I said, fist bump, you're a good man.
Thanks, Tom. I don't know if I want to leave that part in. I feel like a prick.
No, it's all right. You're a good man. You have to own it, mate.
Right, anyway.
It's good to get gifts for the ones you love.
But anyway, so we all went to Oasis.
I could never.
It was great. But, like, they come on. And it's not the longest gig in the world, but, like, bear in mind the Gallagher's fame. Like, do you know the story of Oasis?
No.
They're brothers.
They fell out.
They fell out bad. And they... When did they stop gigging? When was it? 2009? Like, it was a long time ago. And no one thought they'd ever get back together. And I'm like, I love their music.
They were slagging each other off, weren't
they? For years, it was terrible. And I always was like, shit, I really like this music. It's such a shame I'll never see them live because I never thought they'd get back together.
Yeah.
Here they are back together. I thought this could be the last time they ever tour together because they still might fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
I'm going. But I get there. And it's a shorter gig, but I thought, fucking hell, they haven't even spoken years. I'll take what I'm given.
How long?
They're on for...
Is it less than 2 hours?
I think ever so slightly, but not much. Bear in mind, there's two warmer packs as well, and one of them's on for an hour. Like it,
Bruce goes on for 3 hours 40, mate.
I know. And hey, I'm not saying that it's no Bruce, you know, but anyway, get there. They're on for like maybe 2 hours. But this is the thing, right? They start off, do some songs, great. Then halfway through, Liam fucks off. And Noel just does five of his band's songs back to back, High Flying Birds. And I like High Flying Birds songs. But if I want to see High Flying Birds, I'd fucking buy a High Flying Birds ticket.
Really?
Yeah, he did like three or four.
They still got it? Did they still got their voice and are they all...
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah, God, Liam's voice is incredible. He really sounded good, both of them do, to be fair. But like Liam especially, I was like really shocked how like... He's got quite a youthful voice for a guy that's like, you know, his age.
Yeah,
they have no stage presence. Like, the songs are great. It's the energy of like everyone, like, you know, so many people in the UK love Oasis. 80,000 people in Wembley singing along.
Wow.
It's a beautiful energy. But like, you look at them and they don't really move about much. And
it,
Liam sort of rocks it because he's like sort of singing very statically. And then the moment where he's like not doing anything, like where it's just instrumental, just stare at the camera, like just aura farm.
Yeah.
And then he started like balancing his tambourine on his head, but he kept doing it. Like, I've got like a shot of him, like where it's like backlit and he's just like a silhouette with a tambourine on its head. He keeps doing it. It's
That's
really
weird.
Funny. So Liam sort of rocks it. Noel just sort of really boringly plays guitar and doesn't move at all. And it's like really, really static and a bit dead.
Yeah.
But whatever. Songs are still great. But yeah, then Liam fucks off and they do, and he does High Flying Birds. And then he comes back. And they do more. And then for the encore is where they do all the big songs. They do Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger. Fucking Liam didn't even... I can't remember which one. I think it was Don't Look Back in Anger. Liam didn't even come out for it.
Fucking
just
hell.
Noel did it by himself. I thought, fucking hell, this is the one. So, you know, it was a good gig. And, you know, as I say, the energy of being
were
in
people
Wembley.
Whinging about it online?
I haven't looked. And also it ended at 10:15 and other nights it ended later because I went on the Sunday. So I didn't hear Married with Children, which I think I heard they have done on some nights. So I'm a bit pissed off. But then I learned the night before on Saturday, someone died. So
fucking hell.
I'll take the shorter gig.
Yeah.
To be fair, because at least someone didn't die at mine.
Yeah.
To my knowledge. No, it hadn't come out yet if it has. But yeah, I was like, oh, fucking hell. Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, it was a good night. I took Josh, Harry and Eleanor. Josh, my brother Josh and Harry are like they're basically the same age. I forget they're both younger than me. They're both 20. Fuck it, they're more like brothers than me and Josh are. Those two, like watching them together,
yeah,
they just fucking jab at each other like brothers all the time. They're just tapping each other and like they're like one of them will be stood next to the other and they'll slap him on the cock and like they're just like
the
two people that don't know each other very well.
What?
They're just constant.
I feel like,
Harry would like slap around the back of the head, so then he'd slap him on the like in the balls, and they just kept like half. Jabbing at each other.
Can I be honest with you? I hate lads.
And then I kept getting jabbed.
I hate men. Why are they doing that? Just leave. Then, just don't touch me ever. No one touch me. You know. One time, Harry, like in a jokey way, gave me a thump. We didn't know each other too well. I went, right, if you're going to be my friend, you need to know something. I don't do that sort of shit. I got really intense with him. I said, just so you know, I don't do, you ever touch me again, we're not pals. And he was like, what the fuck? He didn't even touch me. But I let everyone know. Everyone has a moment when they're mates with me where then you're my new mate and they thump me a bit as lads do. And I go, right, I'm not one of these lads. You touch me and you're done, mate, because I'm not having none of this bullshit. It's crap. What is the point? Oh, yeah, let's feel pain. Why, knobheads? Pain is crap.
Well, you imagine my day, because now I've got both of them do it to me a little bit. And I
you
let
should
them,
have expressed
now,
your boundaries.
You know, it's the way, it's their way of, you know, being affectionate in a
that
strange
way. That is ridiculous. That is stupid.
You know, and whatever. But when both of them are there, it's lethal. Every time I walked up a flight of stairs, someone put a finger at my bum. I don't know which one of them. Each time,
mate.
I'd be walking up the stairs and I'd get a fucking jolt of a fucking finger
that
on
actually
the
sphincter. Makes me, I properly hate lads.
So anyway, it was great, but and it was nice.
This is why I love women. They're
nice
never doing none of
two
that.
Two people that I care about so much get on so well. But fuck me, it was a lot. I don't want to do it again. I think I'm going to hang out with them separately from
you
now.
I mean, you hang out with a woman and they care, and you can have a good chat with them.
They don't ever put their finger up your bum.
No.
Really?
God,
Really? I don't think that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, but then you hang out with blokes and all. No, mate, you need Freddies of the world. Where are all the Freddies and the that's it, really. He's the only good one. But they're all just shit, mate. I just think, oh, lads are crap.
Yeah, that was Oasis. I've got more Oasis stories.
I do love Harry and your brother, but...
I love them both.
I'm in a bad mood today on account of the fact that I died last night on stage. So I'm more whingy.
And because of the caffeine.
No, the caffeine's put me in a good spirits, actually.
Oh, because it's good for depression and your ADHD that you might have.
I definitely 1,000,000% have. 100%. I represent everyone.
What does that mean?
Like I'm a forefront for ADHD now, I've decided.
Well, I think I should do that given I have it.
Nah,
and you might,
I have
maybe.
It, definitely.
All right, anyway, we have more to talk about.
But we've got already hit an hour. We have to check out this bloody worm.
It's true.
I remember the worm. Where are you doing, old pal?
Right, how's the worm?
Was one of Mirren's bloody hairs in it, so he's probably wrapped his
stuff.
Blinking
out. That's not your fault.
Can this be a bloody professional environment without hairs clawing out of work? I'm so angry at the world today, Jack.
I have a thing about hairs as well when they're not in people's heads. The second they come off, it's horrible.
Yours head, mate. How much you know?
I hate it. My brother hates it too, I learned yesterday. It's horrible
I
stuff.
I can't even see this worm. Worm.
You ain't got worm vision like me.
I can't see it.
You don't have worm vision like me. Hold on. Enhancing. Right.
Really? Did you just... What was that about?
I'm enhancing.
The only thing you enhanced, mate, was your knobhead vibes. Because you look like a knobhead. Clip that.
Cool. I'm seeing a little
sick
bit of movement.
That was a sick Tommy Knit roast.
I'm actually not seeing enough movement. I feel like Ninja on New Year's Eve.
Right, I'm genuinely dead bored.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Well, let's
just
see.
It's not moving, but it's just there. Just poking through. Just having a rest.
Oh, and by the way, Jack, by the way, do you like my shirt I'm wearing?
Oh, yeah, nice merch, man.
Isn't it sick? It says not doing well.
Yeah.
What I thought about my mental health was, what if I commercialise it?
Nice. Right, I'm not earning any of this one, so that's as much promo as we're allowed to do for that.
if you want
guys, thank you very much for watching The Worms. Well,
I have a lot more I need to talk about in the Patreon. I need to talk about my true bombing experience. I've got a lot more to say
about
that.
You wanted to talk about ADHD.
I want to talk about gigging. I want to talk about my house. I want to talk about my mum's emergency surgery. I want to talk about a lot of personal growth. I've got loads to talk about.
I want to talk about the new Spider-Man suit, but that's just me. Okay. Anyway, we've got plenty to talk about, so come join us over on our
$7
Patreon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.